Why are there so many kinds of dogs? The fossil record reveals little change through the ages. I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz in the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Again today, we'll be dealing with the subject of creation and evolution. In spite of the exaggerated claims made for the theory of evolution, the origin of life has never been proven or demonstrated scientifically. Some of the basic claims of evolution are found to be far from scientific. The argument of natural selection does not account for the supposed evolutionary changes which are taught by a large segment of the scientific community. Some of the leading spokesmen for evolution have confessed the inadequacy of natural selection and mutation also in producing the so-called new species of plants and animals. In our last broadcast, I quoted from Sir Julian Huxley and Dr. Ernest Mayr to the effect that mutation was raw material of all natural selection. Professor G.G. Simpson, one of the elite spokesmen for evolution, writes about multiple simultaneous mutations and reports that the mathematical likelihood of getting good evolutionary results would occur only once in 274 billion years. And that would be assuming 100 million individuals reproducing a new generation every day. He concludes by saying, obviously, such a process has played no part whatever in evolution. Now that's interesting, friends. Does it sound sort of confusing to you, though? They say mutation is necessary to make the changes required by their theory, yet they have to confess that it's scientifically impossible for mutation to make the changes. This is too typical of the puzzling twists and turns made by our evolutionist friends in their efforts to uphold an exploded theory. So the second point of contradiction with true science has been established. Mutations, of course, do affect minor changes within the basic kinds, but those changes are limited, never producing a new family. They can explain many of the varieties of both plants and animals, but they can never explain the creation of basic kinds as required by evolution. Now, since we've discovered that the fossil record gives no support to the idea of species gradually changing into other species, let's see if fossil evidence is in harmony with the Bible. 10 times in the book of Genesis, we read God's decree concerning the reproduction of his creatures after its kind. Now, the word kind refers to species or families. Each created family was to produce only after its kind. And this forever precludes the drifting, changing process required by organic evolution, where one species turns into another one. Now, please take note that God did not say there could be no changes within the family. He didn't create all the varieties of dogs, cats, other animals, and so forth in the very beginning. There was only a male and female of each species, and then many changes have occurred since that time to produce a wide assortment of varieties within the family. But please keep it straight in your mind that cats have always remained cats, dogs are still dogs, and men are still men. Mutation has only been responsible for producing a new variety of the same species, but never originating another new kind. Selective breeding has also brought tremendous improvements, such as hornless cattle and white turkeys and seedless oranges and so forth. But all the organisms continue to reproduce exactly as God decreed at creation, and that is after its kind. The common ancestor that evolution demands has never existed, friends. He's not a missing link. He's a link who never was. Men and monkeys are supposed to stem from the same animal ancestry. Even chimpanzees and many monkey groups, even they vary tremendously. Some are smart, others are dumb, some have short tails and some long, some have no tails at all, of course. Their teeth vary in number. A few have thumbs and others don't. Their genes are different, their chromosomes don't jive. Interestingly enough, apes only breed with apes, chimpanzees with chimpanzees, and monkeys with monkeys. But when we start comparing humans with monkeys, we get even more impossible differences than those between the simian types. In fact, these differences constitute another unanswerable support for the Bible rule of after its kind. The fact that some monkeys can be trained to smoke a pipe or ride a scooter or even hoist a test tube in a laboratory does not prove that scientists are evolved animals or that monkeys are retarded developing humans. Now, it's already been stated that evolutionists expected the fossil record to support their theory of species change. Their doctrine demanded vast numbers of scaly reptiles transforming the scales into feathers and their front feet into wings. Other reptiles supposedly should be changing into fur-bearing quadrupeds. Did they find those thousands of multi-changing creatures? Not one. No matter what particular strata they sifted through, all the fossils were easily recognized and classified within its own family, just as God decreed. If the evolutionary doctrine were true, the strata would be teeming with hundreds of millions of transition forms with combinations of features of two or more species. Not only so, but there would have to be millions upon millions of observable living links right now in the process of turning into a higher form. Darwin actually confessed and wrote this. He said, "There are 2 or 3 million species on Earth, a sufficient field, one might think, for observation. But it must be said today that in spite of all the evidence of trained observers, not one change of the species to another is on record." Now, isn't that interesting? Then why insist that it had to be that way? This is one of the marvels of those who cling to a traditional theory. Even the most ancient fossil forms and the lowest fossil beds have stubbornly retained the same features of their modern counterparts. And it's amusing to listen to the exclamations of surprise by the evolutionist. The creationist is not surprised at all. His Bible told him it would be that way, and he hasn't been forced to puzzle over contradictory evidence. Another frustration for the poor evolutionist is the strange case of the empty strata. Let me explain. As one digs deep into the earth, one layer or stratum after another is revealed. Often we can see these layers clearly exposed in the sides of a mountain or a roadbed cut. Geologists have given names to the succession of strata which pile up one on top of another. Descending into the Grand Canyon, for example, you move downward past the Mississippian, Devonian, Cambrian, and so forth, as they've been tagged, of course, by the scientists. Now, here is the perplexity for the evolutionist. The Cambrian is the last stratum of the descending levels that has any fossils in it. All the lower strata below the Cambrian have absolutely no record of life, period. Why not? The Cambrian layer is full of all the major kinds of animals found today. In other words, there's nothing primitive about the structure of these most ancient fossils known to man. Essentially, they compare with the complexity of current living creatures. But the big question is, where are their ancestors? Where are all the evolving creatures that should have led up to these highly developed fossils in that Cambrian layer? According to the theory of evolution, the Precambrian strata should be filled with more primitive forms of those Cambrian fossils in the process of evolving upward. Darwin confessed in his book, Origin of the Species, quote, "To the question why we do not find rich fossiliferous deposits belonging to these assumed earlier periods prior to the Cambrian system, I can give no satisfactory answer. The case at present must remain inexplicable, and may be truly urged as a valid argument against the views here expressed." Now, isn't that amazing, friends? Darwin admitted having no way to defend his theory, but he still would not adjust his theory to meet the unanswerable arguments against it. Now, many other evolutionary scientists have expressed similar disappointment and frustration. Dr. Daniel Axelrod of the University of California calls it, quote, "one of the major unsolved problems of geology and evolution," end quote. Dr. Austin Clark of the United States National Museum wrote concerning the Cambrian fossils, quote, "strange as it may seem, mollusks were mollusks just as unmistakably as they are now," end quote. Doctors Marshall Kay and Edwin Colbert of Columbia University marveled over the problem in these words. They said, "Why should such complex organic forms be in rocks about 600 million years old and be absent or unrecognized in the records of the preceding 2 billion years? If there has been evolution of life, the absence of the requisite fossils in the rocks older than Cambrian is puzzling." End of quotation. George Gaylord Simpson, the crown prince of evolution, summarized it this way. He said, "The sudden appearance of life is not only the most puzzling feature of the whole fossil record, but also its greatest apparent inadequacy." Now, friends, in the face of these forced admissions of failure to find supporting scientific evidence, How can these men of science continue to press so dogmatically for their shaky views? No wonder they fight to keep students from hearing the opposing arguments. Their positions would crumble under the impartial investigation of honest research. The absence of Precambrian fossils points to one great fact, unacceptable, of course, to the evolutionist, and that is a sudden creative act of God which brought all the major creatures into existence at the same time. Their claims that creationism is unscientific are made only to camouflage their own lack of true evidence. The preponderance of physical scientific data is really on the side of creation, not evolution. The subject of strata beds leads into the interesting question as to how these layers were formed and why the evolutionists have guesstimated their age in the billions of years. The dating of those layers has been done on the basis of the theory of uniformity. Now, this theory assumes that all the natural processes at work in the past have operated exactly as they do today. In other words, we can only explain the creation of those strata on the basis of what we see happening in the world now. Well, how long does it require now for sedimentation to build a foot-deep stratum? Then that age is assigned to any 12-inch layer, no matter how deeply located within the earth it might be. Now, is that a valid assumption to make, friends? Have all the natural forces of the past been just what we can demonstrate and understand today? How naive and conceited to compel ages past to conform to our limited observation and experience today. We can assume what we please, but it proves absolutely nothing except our own gullibility. The Bible explains very graphically about a flood which ravages the face of this earth, covering the highest mountains and completely destroying all plant and animal life outside the ark. The destructive action of the deluge is expressed by these words in the Bible. The same day were all the founds of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Genesis 7:11-12. Now the existence of those strata can be scientifically accounted for in perfect harmony with the Bible record, friends. The universal flood of Genesis provides a much more reasonable explanation of the strata than evolution speculations. As the waters receded from the earth, powerful tides and currents carved out the great canyons in a short time. Layers of debris, according to the specific weight, were laid down, compressing plant and animal life into a compact seam or stratum. Only thus can we explain the vast oil reserves and coal beds around the world. These are the product of vegetation and animal bodies being buried under extreme heat and pressure. No such process of fossilization is taking place today, of course. No coal or oil is forming by present natural forces at work. Uniformity fails here. The fact is, there had to be a gigantic, cataclysmic overturn of nature, killing and burying millions of tons of plant and animal life. The position of some fossils standing upright through one or more strata indicates that the process was not slow or age-long. The material had to be deposited quickly around the body of that animal, or it couldn't have remained in its erect position. Millions of fish were buried by the flood, many of them contorted as though suddenly overtaken by some force. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.